Hi, are you an African working or living in the urban city? If you are, I'm sure like most of us, you own a piece of land in the village which you inherited, or probably land that you have bought and built for yourself. Allow me to ask you, how's that working for you? Are you making money, or are you left wondering if your workers are stealing from you? If you are sending money to your parents or siblings to help manage the farm, is your return on your investments any good? Are you happy with your farm? Are you even seeing your harvest, or your family just eats your harvest and keep asking for more money to farm? If you are like most of us, it's pathetic. If it is not workers stealing from you, God forbid you would dare ask for a list of expenses for the money you send to your family, especially your parents or even siblings. How much money did they send you from the sale of the last harvest? What about a farmer who works on the farm daily? Allow me to ask you, are your farming activities making you extremely wealthy? How's the sale of the products coming along? What about the market price offerings that you've been getting from trying to sell in the urban cities? Are they making you profitable? When you look at how much time and money you've spent on farming, can you really say you've made a profit? Do you know the price of your products in the urban city? Do you even know who to sell to? I know the government and donors have been doing a lot of production work in the rural areas to try and get Africa's smallholder farmers to be able to access markets. Has that worked for you? Has it left you wealthier than when they found you? Agriculture is so simple. We all know how to plant a seed in the soil, water it, and then it should grow and give us a harvest. But somehow we don't seem to be able to get this right. What is even worse is we Africans, as educated as we are, we do not seem to be able to get this farming right. Without a doubt, you feel stuck and frustrated about farming, especially in Africa. You're even more frustrated about choosing your land to earn more money for yourself without ever having to beg from anyone or to even get paid for what is rightfully yours and what is right. Hi, my name is Faustina, spelled Faustina. Faustina, last name is Mani, as in cash, but spelled Mani. Faustina Mani. I work with farmers, traders, women in agribusiness, youthful professionals who want to earn more money from themselves through a credible and reputable global trade engagement partner who fully understands and serves the African markets. When I say youthful professionals, I mean the young, who are normally referred as the youth, the professionals who are currently working, who I normally refer to as the mature, and the retired professionals as well, because Africa has a lot of rules and there's plenty of opportunity for them in the agricultural space. I remember some years ago, I used to believe that the only way to transform Africa's agriculture and enable Africa's, especially the smallholder farmers and traders, especially women and youth, to earn more money for themselves was through donor funding. Like you, I was frustrated because something as simple as planting a seed in the soil, watering it, and letting it grow continues to be such a problem despite the human intelligence and money that has been spent on Africa's agriculture production. Every day, I would ask myself, why are Africa's agricultural markets not favorable to Africa itself? Agribusiness is very simple, but it just does not seem to be working for African farmers, traders, women, and youth, useful professionals. I'm now even getting more concerned at the disconnect that no one wants to talk about. I've attended very many meetings where they're promoting certain things, but when you look at the ground, they're not really working. And this, we see it left, right, and center. Even the donors themselves are beginning to ask, stop telling us how many farmers you've traded. We want to see what was the level of growth income. If you look at the money that has been spent on Africa's agriculture, we should be having very many millionaire farmers. But this is not the case. I always ask myself, is this the way it's always going to be? Are we going to consistently see a lack of favorable markets for Africa's farmers, traders, women, and youthful professionals? Is corruption, lack of integrity, both from the market, the government officials, and politicians who are meant to serve the people, always continue to be the same? I'm in the agricultural dry commodity sector, but let me tell you, the number of con men and fraudsters in the agricultural space is huge. Our farmers are constantly losing money because of a lack of the tools to be able to access who the fraudsters are. Traders are losing money because of the lack of knowledge on trade financing and how to do things rightly in global trade. The most annoying is lack of understanding of Africa's mass market, especially the bottom of the pyramid, which continues to be a mysterious business model in academia. Take any African city you can think of. Nairobi, for example. We have informal sectors like Kibera. We have low-income areas like Kayole. But yet these economies seem to be striving. In Kenya, we call them the Kadogo economy, the economy of the microbes. Many of these sectors are operating 24 hours. They're able to make money for themselves. How are they being able to do this? Why do they continue? This model continue to be elusive to academia. The small economies, especially what which is normally referred to as the informal sector, Jua Kali in Kenya, are the major contributors of many African countries' GDP. Many of them have been mistaken to be informal in the sense that they are not educated or they operate informally, but the truth is many of them are registered business. Many of them are run by educated Africans who have, for one reason or another, have been unable to get employment. Many of them are highly educated with master's degrees, college, university degrees. But because of lack of unemployment in Africa, they've been choosing to run their own business and they're doing very well for themselves. But what bothers me the most is that when it is time to discuss issues that are affecting them, they're hardly ever invited to the table to represent themselves. What normally happens, you will find that either staff or ministry officials who have never run businesses themselves are the ones who are speaking on behalf of this, and of particularly of great concern is in setting the agenda for the Africa we want. A lot of the representations that is being done by people who've never traded a single day in their lives. I don't have anything against government officials representing. I do not have anything against association staff representing them. But the question is, how will you represent someone when you have never done it itself? It's one thing to read about a person. It's quite another to do the actual activities. It's one thing to read about the small and medium enterprises. It's quite another to run a business for yourself. And this is a pattern I'm seeing increasingly growing. And the question is, how long will we continue to talk about and represent issues at a level where we don't fully understand? And so because of this, I realized that there's a great need to address these issues, because this is the problem is the agenda is set, but when it comes to the implementation, it backfires terribly. And so donors are frustrated, farmers are frustrated, traders are frustrated, women are frustrated. Even the professionals themselves who are working in a lot of these organizations are frustrated, because everyone wants to see good come out of Africa. Even the donors themselves are frustrated, because when they look at how much money they've invested, the results are not translating into the monetary value. The return on the investments continues to be pathetic. So this has taken me on a journey where we recently actually came to the realization that the reason why this hasn't worked for a very long time is because the Africa's agenda for agriculture has always been set by those who give the funds to Africa. But because they're not on the ground, a lot of these things are not working when it comes to implementing. It is true what the Bible says. A borrower is a slave to the lender, and whoever has the money has the power to call the shot, because money answers all things. When you have money, You can do what you want. The question is, those you are doing it, will they adopt? Will they accept what you're implementing? I am so grateful that I've learned a lot, that I don't have to be like anyone. Let me explain myself. When I was in the development sector, I almost felt like a business person because I'd gone there to represent my family business. And I believe that the development world was where the solutions are going to come through. But I quickly realized that the agenda was never about us setting this. The agenda was always given to us, and we had to really make the other people, the donors' agenda to work. There's nothing wrong with that. It is their money, and they call the shots. So I was always finding myself, and I still continue to find myself thinking, I'm a business person. What you're trying to push is not working. Let me give you an example. On the issue of certified seed, yes, they're pushing for certified seed that have been that are being promoted by a lot of the seed companies and the chemical companies. And I get samples to try and market these seeds. But the truth is, these seeds have been rejected by the market because that's not what they want. Yes, their intentions are good. Get more iron, get more zinc in the seed, improve varieties. But the issue is, at the end of the day, if the market does not buy that seed, then your efforts are wasted. An interesting thing also I noticed was even the private sector, the Jokali themselves, they are busy running their business. They're not particularly too keen on the development agenda, to say so. They think it's just conferences and things. And the truth is, many of them are busy running their businesses. They don't have time for meetings. But the other thing that happened is, when I went in with my donor mindset and donor mentality, a lot of them would normally tell me, you're too NGO. Actually, the first thing that someone ever told me was, you are too NGO. And then the private sector was saying, I'm too private sector. I mean, the NGO world was calling me too, as being too private sector. And for a while, it bothered me. It felt like I didn't have my place. But later, actually, I realized that was my sweet spot. Being able to sit in the development agenda table, and as a private businesswoman, to be able to see the disconnect and ask difficult questions that, of course, many people don't want to deal with. And so this is where my exciting journey began. I started saying, how long is Africa going to continue like this? We must be able to sit at the table and set the agenda that we want. And so when the Agenda 2063 came, it was an exciting opportunity for Africa to speak and say exactly what they want. The only unfortunate thing, again, is I see this pattern being repeated again, where people who've never traded want to represent those who trade. And so for me, I think the decision was to decide, you know what? I can also champion my cause. I can speak about what I want to do. Sometimes you don't need to be invited to the table. You can create your own table. You can create your own platform. And that is exactly what I'm doing. I am creating a platform where I will be able to champion for the Africa that I want. And I call it Legacy 2063, because that is a legacy that Faustina Manu will leave for herself. I am looking at the future and I'm saying, no, I don't need to be invited to the table. I can set the agenda. And technology today has enabled us to be able to do these things. You don't need to be invited to the table. You can create the table yourself and champion what it is that you would want to see done. So I'm so grateful that I've learned that I don't have to be like everyone else, neither do I need to be invited into any table. I have also realized that I am so gifted, being gifted in understanding what the development wants, and being gifted as a private sector, a woman, an African woman brain trader. And so this set me on a journey where I called myself to a meeting and I decided to write down every gift, every talent, every skill, every resource that I have access to, or everything that is within my hand. And on this journey, I can remember many years ago, I was feeling very distraught because in one instance, I'll give you for example, I was looking at the market information systems that had been out there which were supposed to help farmers. The problem I had with them was many of them were in US dollars, and many of them were just saying one point up, one point down. The average farmer does not know what that is. They did not have the pictures of, they just said beans, but there's so many types of beans, And I felt this was not really conducive. And it set me to set out to create a marketplace that would allow farmers to be able to access the prices that they need. Of course, the marketplace has grown, and on a later conversation, I will be able to take you through what the marketplace does, and as well as the website. So back to my story, where I realized I was gifted and calling myself and listing every gift and every talent, every skill and resource that I have within my hands. Have you ever noticed the story of the parable in Matthew 25? In the parable, the master called the workers and he gave them talents and asked them to go trade. The master's instructions to the workers were go trade. In other words, go use your talents to do business. The master delivered to his goods, the talents and the goods were his, but he delivered them to the servants. He gave one 5, he gave another 2, gave another one, each according to their ability. The one who got 5 and the one who got 2 went and traded with them, as indicated in Matthew 25:16. Do you know the present day value for each talent is $1,000 or 100,000 Kenyan shillings? Present day value. I want to ask you something. Are you doing business or trading with your talent? Do you sing? Can you play an instrument? Do you have any professional skills that you've acquired? What about your work experience? Have you traveled? What knowledge? You have a smartphone. That's a resource that you have. I don't know if you know this, but the power that is within the smartphone today is exactly the same power that was used to send the first person to the moon. Yes, you have a very powerful resource and tool within your hands. What about your hands? What about your work experience? What about the solutions that you can provide to the world? What about the problems that you see? In other words, I need you to sit down and list everything that you have within your hands, even your own land, and begin to ask yourself, how can each of these give me $100,000 or $1,000 roughly? Allow me to challenge you and tell you, if you're not doing business and trading with your talent and your skills, you are wicked and lazy. That's what Matthew 25, verse 25 says. Fear is the reason you're stuck and unfulfilled. Fear is your controller, your God, and your master. You cannot eliminate it. It's part of life, but you must learn how to conquer it. You must learn to trade in fear. Trade afraid. Take some time out and list your talents and put 100,000 Kenyan shillings on each, or $1,000, or whatever currency it is, and ask yourself, why is it not making money for me? The other thing I also learned is that after I had identified my talents, or everything that was, every resource and every skill and every work experience that I had in my hands, I realized that I had not learned, become bold in opening the door for me. I kept on looking for people to open the door for me. I kept on begging. I kept on giving my information for free. I kept on using my skills to serve others and having nothing to show for it. I allowed others to decide how much they would pay me for the very valuable skills that I have, that I have talents and skills that I've spent years investing. I learned how to master fear. I also learned how to monetize all my talents and skills and giftings. I had to go invest myself so that I can also get unstuck, frustrated, and stop begging from others and asking others to open doors for me. I learned to open my own door. I learned to prepare my own table and my own platform. I stopped begging from others. What do I mean begging? Sometimes we keep waiting for other people to open doors for us. We keep giving our value, our talents and skills, our time, experiences for free, hoping that we would be paid what is rightfully due to us. And the truth is, when you give it for free, no one wants to pay for it. And sometimes you just need to get to that point and say, this is the value of what I'm offering, take it or leave it. And when I took that stand, my life started to change for the better. And I have never looked back again. I have become unapologetic about the value of my gifts and talents. And today, I am here to encourage you and tell you that I can guide you to earn more money for yourself by using what you have in your hand in Africa's agricultural marketplace. Imagine with me for a moment. Let's dream together about the Africa that we want. Can you imagine ever earning more money for yourself using your skills, your gifts, what you have within Africa's agricultural space in integrity? You earn money in integrity. You earn money and find fulfillment and peace without ever having to beg from anyone. Africa is now one very large market. I don't know if you know this about the African continental free trade area, which currently I think about 55 countries are joining to come together. The sheer dollar value of this market is so huge. It's actually going to be the largest market in the world. Everyone is looking to do business with Africa. Can you imagine yourself boldly creating business opportunities within the agribusiness space without ever having to worry about being defrauded or conned, because the people you're doing business with have been vetted. They have been vetted. Can you imagine doing business with men and women of integrity who have been vetted and are committed to doing long-term business relationship with you? Nobody ever wants to look for new clients consistently. The trick is to maintain the ones that you have and continue to do repeat business that will last years and years. Imagine a marketplace that offers equal opportunity for all to do business without having to bribe government officials or politicians or just all for positions, like as it's become the norm. Can you imagine being guided by a recognized sector leader in Africa's agricultural markets? Imagine being trained and coached and facilitated to do global business using what is within your hands, be it your talents, be it your skills, your knowledge, your work experience in doing reputable business. Can you imagine having access to global trade engagement partners who can advise, caution, mentor, and even coach you on how to access Africa's mass market? Imagine being part of a private community and support network of like-minded individuals who inspire you and hold you accountable to profitably using your talents to earn an income for yourself. Imagine creating generational wealth that lasts to the third and fourth generation through selfless individuals committed to creating the Africa we want by 2063 through the African Continental Free Trade Area Agenda 2063, the Africa we want. My family has been in the grain sector since 1968. We are second generation traders. My training and expertise in addition to grain trade is in the ICTs. My children will not do business the way I am doing now. It is up to me to be able to ensure that if I want our family legacy to continue in the future, I must incorporate technology and make it easy for my children and children's children to do business. I am creating future African grain traders who will be able to sell grain using technology. My question to you is, 41 years from now, which will be 2063, what will the world remember you for? What will Africa remember you for? What will your children's children remember you for? What is your legacy for 2063? How can you take advantage of agricultural opportunities from Africa's very large market? How can you create for you an opportunity for yourself? If you don't know about this, if you don't know about the African Continental Free Trade Area, you need to hit Google. If you don't know about Agenda 2063, you need to. If you don't know about the Africa that we want, you need to. And better yet, you need to come up with your own legacy 2063, and you need to decide the Africa that you want. What will it look like? I am on the path to mine. Imagine some 42 years ago. Imagine, I believe that would be in 1979. Were you born? Imagine what computers looked like. Computers actually looked like that manual typewriter with a screen. Do you know people were using floppy disks? Do you know music was played on those large turntables on LPs? Regardless of if you were alive or not, the activities of that time affect you today and will continue to affect your future. You now have a chance to affect your children's children by investing in yourself to use your skills and talents in Africa's large market, actually the largest market in the world. Africa, I don't know if you know this, has the largest growing youth population. Even looking at COVID, you can tell how a lot of the foreign nations have lost people. The numbers have not been so bad in Africa. Africa has the youngest population. That means the largest market will be, in the future, will be Africa. And the question is, everyone is looking to do business with Africa. Will you participate or will you watch others make money, then wonder what happened? Will you invest in yourself in order to benefit from this large market? Think of people who took advantage of their markets 42 years ago. Bill Gates was attending a geek computer conference where he unleashed mosquitoes to the attendees to demonstrate the effect of malaria in Africa. Look at the amount of money he has invested in Africa today on health. He continues to do that work today. Kenya's current president, Uhuru Muigai Kenyatta, was working at a bank teller at Kenya Commercial Bank. I cannot help but wonder how many other bankers were there in that bank. Did they take advantage of that opportunity where they would be able to leverage it on it 42 years later, when now he's the president of the Republic of Kenya? Many times I've wondered what would have been come of my life if I had taken advantage of the opportunities that had been presented before me. If you feel like I once felt, you are not alone. Let us learn from history and let us forge for a better Africa, the Africa that we want, Agenda 2063. Africa can actually get better. If I can ever support you, I'm only a direct message away. You can find me on www.faustinamani.com and on other social media platforms as well. Remember, again, my name is spelled FOSTINA, Faustina. My last name is Mani, as in cash, but spelled M-A-N-I, www.faustinamani.com. So thank you for listening to me, and I'm really excited about guiding you and walking through this journey with you. So if you can, please like, follow, and subscribe to all my social media platforms. Thank you. God bless you as we begin this amazing journey of building the Africa that I want. I am so excited and so passionate for the opportunity to build my own legacy, 2063 by Faustina Mani, where I get to create the Africa that I want. Thank you, and God bless you.